Go to the word of the living God, and if you're ready, let's stand together and we'll look at it and see what the scripture says from the book of Ephesians. It's kind of interesting. My dentist told me, you know, I went to the dentist the other day, and it's the 1 hour I get periodically every so many months where I'm horizontal and I can rest and don't get interrupted for 1 hour. And so, you know, it's kind of relaxing, except now he's all turned on to Jesus, which is great because what he comes out of doesn't promote personal relationship with Jesus. He was telling me, I'm starting the book of Galatians. What am I going to find in the book of Galatians? So, let me tell you what we're going to find in the book of Galatians. And I was thrilled to see hunger in the heart of people that typically don't open up about their personal faith in any way, but there's a hunger going on. God's doing something amazing right now. So look at the book of Ephesians, and I want you to take heart and run with this tonight. Ephesians 1, 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Anybody say amen to that? Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. What a powerful truth that is. Father, thank you for being so gracious to us. Blessing, before we ever get the words of request out, you begin sending the blessing our way. Thank you for transformational truth. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. What an awesome God. Wow. Looking at this passage, when you were reckless, making awful decisions, when you were on the edge about to go over the cliff, all of a sudden God stopped you right there in a moment. Amen? He is such an amazing God. Maybe you've never made a bad decision. I have made some bad decisions. But God was right there before I stepped off the ledge. Amen? And if any of you have experienced the grace of God, shout to the Lord because he's so amazing. Amen. So amazing. You were headed to sign a contract, but your car broke down. It wasn't a contract for you. God was good to you. Aren't you glad he didn't ask your permission before he intervened? He just stepped in. And does anybody know what it's like to have God just step in? And God gets your attention really fast. He's so amazing. He can interrupt our lives, our plans, and rearrange everything so we get not to miss our destiny. Say, step in, Lord.
Step in, Lord.
Amen. Come on, mean that. Ask him to do that. Step in, Lord. So let's get into the word. Before we do, tell your neighbor it's good for us to be here. You are unstoppable because you serve an unstoppable God. Now I'm going to read this passage again from a little different translation that helps you get a more clear meaning or a clearer meaning of what the scripture is trying to say here. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. That immediately puts us in a position to be blessed of the Father. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Christ, Jesus, or Jesus Christ. I want to read that again. He decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear Son. Amen? And looking at this passage, asking God to keep our hearts where they need to be, clean before him, he's able clearly to speak to us, truth by inspiration of the Spirit. He's saying the plan of your demise is too late to stop your destiny. The plan of your demise is too late to stop your destiny. What the enemy attempted to do, too late. God was many steps ahead of him in planning. And Paul is speaking to the church at Ephesus, and he tells them God has a plan for them, that he's chosen them before the foundation of the world. Paul says we were predestined to be his children according to the good pleasure of his will. The mind of God is revealed in Scripture. We get glimpses into the amazing, unfathomable mind of our Creator. Listen, God does not wait for a crisis to plan your victory. He said, before the foundations of the world, before anything existed in the world, God already planned your victory. What catches you by surprise does not catch God by surprise. The fact we're seated here tonight is not a surprise to Almighty God. Everything we experience in life is not the will of God, but God has a solution for everything that we experience. And God understood before he created Adam that he would need a second Adam, and that would be Jesus, his son. The Father began speaking of him long before Jesus was manifested on the earth, long before Gabriel ever spoke to Mary. Back in Genesis, God said the serpent would bruise his Jesus' heel, but Jesus would crush his head. God looks forward and has anticipated our destiny. He knows that he knows what we need as he's planned our destiny. He already planned everything in advance concerning you. Even when you entered a crisis, God knew you would enter that season. And we're in these amazing days. Sometimes they seem like they're out of control days with news happening so fast you can hardly keep up with it. But listen to me. As sure as I'm standing here, those three incredible creatures that God made that existed long before he made the human race, that were one time brothers in the heavenlies, they are gearing up and engaging in war with the one who became traitor to the triad and of those three amazing archangels. And that battle is for the souls of the human race. And God knows who belongs to him, and God knows who doesn't. Amen? God's got all of this under his supervision and surveillance. Now, when life was good, God saw it before that season of good ever broke on you. God knew something was going to happen down the road. He put something in place in advance for you before you ever entered into it. He had the people in the right place. He had the right circumstances. He had everything lined up, and he pulled things together that humanly none of us could ever pull together if we tried it on our own. God had something in place before you experienced the crisis, because he already saw us in the year 2018. This is just another marker in the eternals with God. God orchestrated the plan for your victory long before you entered a battle. God is long-term. He is eternally proactive. He is thousands of years ahead of us. God already knows who's going to win the elections come November. None of these matters ever catch God by surprise. God put a plan in place so we could receive salvation. He launched that before he ever created the world. While we were messed up, when he did create us and we were acting out our sinful practices, God had a plan for holiness he put in place. He didn't wait for us to clean up our lives to put his plans in place. He put the plan in place when we had no desire to do right. God had already loved us. God was already planning to help us. God wasn't waiting for you to get your back up against the wall. And in the day you went off the rails and you defied God's word, listen, God still had his plan in place. On the worst day of our lives, when we weren't thinking of worship, not thinking about serving, not thinking about God, didn't care what the word of God said, God had his plan in place. His kingdom is unshakable. And never think you just awakened one day and decided to come to church. Our future has been seen, and God knew the exact time that we would get a God thought after years of rebellious thoughts. He was there in the mix, working all the time. God planned out our future at the beginning of the book, then set it all in motion so we will end up in relationship with him at the end of the book. That's how God orchestrated it. Watch this in Isaiah, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Let me look at that again from another translation out of the Hebrew. Only I can tell you the future before it ever happens. Everything I plan will come to pass, for I do whatever I wish. That's the God I serve. Everything is seen by God, yet sometimes people like to blame the negative that happens in life on God. Well, look at what God allowed. But God has a plan in place to overcome all negative circumstances. We have to trust the Almighty I Am. Many negative things happen to us, many times because of decisions we make. Yeah. Sometimes they're because of decisions others have made. Then we ask God, well, why did you let this happen? Why did you allow this? No, many times we let it happen, but God steps in with the remedy. Amen? Now, I know your neighbor acts like he or she has never made any bad decisions, you know, but that's a lie. Yeah. You don't have to call them that, but that's a lie. But even after they did the wrong thing, God enacted his plan of action to deliver them. Before you thought it, God had already fixed it. God already took care of it. You never saw yourself in church on a Sunday night because you were too busy doing your own thing. And look at you, pinch yourself. Where are you? You're in church on a Sunday night, right? God's plan for your life is greater than the actions of your past. Your life is in the hands of God. And no matter how far you run from God, as horrible a life as you've ever lived, God's coming to get you. That's the God I know. And there's a plan in place where you can only run so far, and everywhere you run on earth, you're going to run right into God. No matter where you turn, what corners you take, what actions you employ, no matter how far you travel away from anything spiritual, where you bury yourself, you're going to run right into God there too. John met God on the Isle of Patmos. It was the Alcatraz of its day. It was where they isolated prisoners in the Roman Empire. I guarantee you, in the worst of places, you're still going to encounter God in that place. When Paul was down in the prison of Philippi, a Roman prison was the worst place you could ever be tossed, because generally what happened when you committed a crime is they stripped you, and then they flogged you publicly, and then they put you in leg irons, minimally was the least thing that they did, and they dropped you into one of their prisons, which were not the best environments. And it wasn't just any prison cell they threw Paul and Silas into. It says they put him in the inner cell, which means it was at the bottom of the prison, and it was totally dark and very damp, and it was where all the sewage rained down as it fell from all the other cells. It stunk horribly. And in the middle of this place, it says, with great boisterous singing at midnight, Paul is giving praise to God. And all the prisoners around in all the other cells were like, what in the world is going on? This guy just got beat up black and blue, He's bloody, he's in leg irons, and he's in the worst possible place in this prison, and he's worshiping his God. Well, God, look, God gets excited when we start worshiping him in the worst of conditions. You're going to encounter God in all kinds of places. John did on the Isle of Patmos. And God decided, you know what? I'm going to let him know I'm hearing his great worship. And he just shook the prison until all the doors sprung open and all the prisoners were loosed. But they didn't run off. Paul made sure none of them escaped, so the sheriff didn't get to kill himself after all. So it's amazing to watch what God will do. You're still going to encounter him as Paul did in the prison of Philippi, as John did on the Lord's day in the Spirit on the Isle of Patmos. Now, some people worry about their future. Listen, your future is in God. It's in God. God has your future under his control. God has your destiny in his plans. You don't have to worry about these kinds of things and fret about this kind of stuff because God's got this mapped out. He's attempting to get you to step up and get rid of some baggage while you're waiting for God to enact and launch you into your destiny. He wants you to shed some stuff on the journey so that you're prepared for your destiny. And God will process us. I said, God will process us. So what do you do while you're being processed? Sing his praises while you're being processed, while there's pain, while there's difficulty, while you're having to shed things that need to get shed in your life. You're in process. And it's the journey that makes us the man or woman of God that he intends us to be. This means when hell is breathing down my back, I will sing a wonderful song to the Lord. When you're singing a song, it's an announcement to the devil. Listen, it's an announcement to the haters. It will not end like this. It will not end. Listen to me, say that. It will not end like this. Does anybody have a testimony that God's will be done in your life? Yeah. Amen. And God's already mapped the path out ahead of you. He's already mapped it out. He's not, let's see, where should I put this road for your life? He's got it all mapped out. God's never nervous. He's never seated there in heaven wringing his hands, wondering, I wonder what's going to happen over there at Calvary Christian Center. I wonder if they're going to have a wonderful worship time. I wonder what's going to happen with some of my leaders at that church. That might be you, but that's not my God. My God never is in that position. God's not worried about any matter. He puts his plans in motion thousands of years ago. And what he asks of us is this, that we trust him. That we trust him. God knows this. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivers them out of them all. So no matter how many tests come your way, get ready, you're going to come out of all of them. You will pass them. You're coming through them. There's a breakthrough anointing on your life to break out of whatever test you're in. And there's a word in your belly. And learn how to speak that word God puts inside of you into the atmosphere and decree it to be so. What God promised you shall come to pass. Not out there somewhere, you know, one of these days, but in this time. Because the word says this in Ephesians 1, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself. Praise God. Do you know who you are? You've been predestined, being adopted as sons by Jesus Christ to himself. God had an adoption in place while we were still considered orphans. We were without him. We were left by the side of the road for dead by the adversary, orphaned, separated, totally broken in our relationship. God doesn't want us orphaned. He doesn't want us abandoned in the wild. Tell your neighbor, if you're an orphan or have an orphan spirit, it's because you choose to. Because we don't have to stay there abandoned. Orphans. An orphan is in a house and steals from the house it's in because an orphan doesn't realize if I can understand that I'm a son, I'm a child, that what's in the house is my inheritance. I don't have to steal contents just to get by. When you comprehend you're not an orphan, but you're an asset in the house and in the family, you're not a deficit in the house, you're a plus in the house. Predestined, already determined, already appointed, already settled beforehand. You were put in time by the will of God. Before you were put in time, it was already appointed, already settled before time. We can get lost attempting to understand stuff in our time. How in the world is this going to work? How is that ever going to come to pass? How is that impossibility that they say cannot be done ever going to come to fruition? God set everything in time, trusting that while we are in time, we would grab hold of our purpose, knowing he's already planned our victory and the defeat of our adversary. And God loves nothing better than when he watches his children grab hold of our purpose and use it to defeat his adversary and ours. Amen. And wherever our issues are in time, God's already factored in victory before he released us from our mother's womb. Thank the Lord. God already factored in victory before he released us from our moms. God already calculated our adversaries. He already checked them out. He knows all about our adversities. He knows all the tests we're going to have. He already laid out and in advance, he has calculated into the mix our pain that we would experience. He's already calculated into the formula our losses that we would have. God's already calculated when we would feel lost in the middle of a battle and wonder, is God still here with me? When I feel weak, then you come behind me and you make me feel strong. How is it that you've calculated all of this? When he's totaled up all the calculations of each of our individual walks and journeys through life, he still said at the end of the calculation where he drew the line, victory. Victory belongs to my children. No matter what losses, experiences, whatever it is you faced, the end of the day, victory for my kids. It's never a surprise to God when we have a detour because we see it as a delay. Never a surprise to God, but when we have a detour, we see it as a delay. And we go, oh, God, well, no, I'm going to have to wait again. But when you have been detoured, listen, you're going to still wind up in the right place at the right time, right on God's time. We want to get there on our timetable. But God has a far better system than we'll ever have. And it's not our timetable, it's his. If we had arrived on our timetable, we would have arrived too early. And we would have not been prepared. God would not have been able to do in us that what was needed to get done. But when we arrive on God's timetable, it's the right time, and all we do is remain trusting in our Father. I can trust you, Dad. Because when we get there on time, we're not struggling with what to do. We know what to do because he's prepared us in the wilderness detour. While he's had us out there under construction on the journey, he's been preparing us for the moment that he puts us into the position that he's destined for us. I need a few people, listen, to work it here tonight. Are some people going to work this with me tonight? Are you on this with me? Don't be distracted here. We're getting there right on time on God's timetable. Others might not understand, but it's working for you, not working against you. Because we immediately take the position, we default into the attitude, well, this is all working in the wrong direction. This is working against me. This is working to make my life a little more difficult and a little more tedious and a little more of a struggle. No, it's working for me. All those things that I'm going through, are strengthening me for the victory that God has for me. Amen. The enemy thought he had us confined, but we're going to arrive right on time when we cooperate with the Father. And when you arrive, all you have to do is just work it. That's all you got to do. Moses, raise your staff right now over the Red Sea, because you're just working what I've been preparing you to do all these days. Now work it. And all Moses had to do was, in faith and obedience, lift that rod out over the Red Sea. Behold, see the salvation of the Lord. Amen. Because he'd been prepared. When you arrive in God's will and in God's time, nothing can stop you. Financial issues can't stop you. Family issues can't stop you. When you've learned how to walk in sync and in his timing and understand that things are working together for good for those that love the Lord. See, everyone here has a different timetable on the journey that you happen to be on. But at the bottom line for all of us, walk in step with God's timing, trusting him. He will complete what he started in us. I said he will complete what he started in us. So while on the journey through the wilderness detours, work it. Learn. Take the tests in stride. Whatever works for you, just work it. Praise him. Worship him. Thank him. Honor him. Don't keep complaining all the time. Let him know you know he's still God. He's still got you. He's still got everything under control. Learn how to work your way through these barriers that everybody's going to have to face. And don't let anybody tell you that there is no struggle or pain or suffering in serving Jesus, because that's not true. There is. But there is victory as well. And there's deliverance, and there's joy, and there's recompense. What does that mean? That God will never be in your debt. And if you have spent any of your emotions or your physicality, or you've been through pain and difficulty and suffering on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ, he will reward whatever you've spent many times more than anything you ever gave up. Because what works for your neighbor might not work for you. But listen, I'm coming out. It's my time. I will emerge from this. That's the attitude. The enemy can never hold me back. He cannot stop me. Learn how to move and work what God gave you. It's your time. Celebrate. It's your time. Amen. Celebrate. And somebody always says, but you don't know. I've been walking through. And it's painful sometimes. It is. I can tell you it's painful. Yeah. But no matter what you've been walking through, God has a plan to do something about what you've been doing and bring you right into what his purpose and his plan is, what he wants done in his purpose for your life. So learn on the journey what he wants done in your life, because he's going to manifest that, and you're going to get to start seeing, this is what you're trying to do in my life. Don't demean yourself. Don't give up because you hit a wall or you slammed into the side of a mountain. It's all part of God's plan for growing us into the son or the daughter that he's destined us to become. No one knows what your journey has been, because all of our journeys tend to be a little bit different. But stop pacing the floor and start praising your Father. Stop complaining all the time about it and stop honoring the Lord. If it's already determined, appointed, and set and planned beforehand, why do I have to learn to trust like this to get there? That's a good question, isn't it? If it's already been determined, appointed, set, planned beforehand, then why do I have to learn to trust like this to get there? What is the purpose of that? Learn to grow into what God purposed you to become. You see, we're not going to get there in one step. He didn't choose you to be like that person. He chose you to be his individual son or daughter in the specific purpose for which he created you. Galatians, it's like this. Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone. Remember what I told you a couple of Sunday nights ago? Jesus went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. God anointed him to do that. And when we go out into the culture, what are we supposed to do? Do good to people. Therefore, whenever you have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to those in the family of faith. Learn how to walk in the destiny that God has for your life. Stop having an identity crisis. Know who you are. You are a chosen generation. You're a royal priesthood. You've been called by God out of darkness into his marvelous light. He's called you his own. Be conformed to the image of Jesus, because a breakthrough is already on your row in this room tonight, already in your house, already in your life, and be thankful God has selected you beforehand for his purpose, and take the journey with joy, because he's already taken care of the end of it. He's already fashioned it all. It's already done for you. Thank God he knows the name he gave you in his kingdom. He already knows what that name is. Shout for joy over what he has destined for you. And there's nobody here, no one on the planet, who has the same thumbprint as you or purpose that you carry. Every one of us is individually and constructed specifically by God with our own set of DNA. And Father uniquely created you, loves you, and wants your success. Don't allow anybody to try to stop what the Father has determined for you to do. Somebody ought to shout up in here tonight. Amen? Somebody ought to shout. Thank the Lord. You're coming into your identity. You're coming into your authenticity. Because when you step into his purpose in his time, you will arrive at the Father's purpose and his harvest blessing will manifest. Anybody ready for that? But you got to finish the journey. And you got to do it with joy, with thanksgiving. Father is about to do some things that are amazing in our life. And you've allowed discouragement and delay and missteps to stall the journey. Say, well, I don't know if I'm ever going to get this started again. Your feelings have dictated that you're never going to see your dream. And that's what the enemy loves to do. You see, he doesn't possess you. He just whispers to you that you're going to be defeated, that you're going to somehow never get to the destiny God has for you. You've endured trauma, and maybe you even have post-traumatic stress because of it. You see, military, it's a familiar thing because they're involved at times and events that are so unbelievable and traumatic that after it has a while to settle in, they have a difficult time trying to cope with some of those things. And it sets them back. And without the right tools, these things trigger back again. And the same things happen to people in all walks of life. You don't have to have been in the military to have post-traumatic stress. If you've had a horrible event happen in life, something that's come up on you tragically or horribly, I was looking at an article, I want to quote a little bit from it related to that, and they call it healing an injury of the soul. Trauma is a disorder that affects your brain and your body. And when a traumatic incident occurs, images are seared into the brain that physically and emotionally haunt the victim. You don't have to have been wearing a uniform for that to happen to you. You could have had that kind of an event many different times in different places and sequences. And there are people in the body of Christ who have never had their soul healed. They're still walking around, triggered by post-traumatic stress. And I'm looking at this because we're working on this, working all the way down to the cadet level in the Civil Air Patrol, trying to prevent suicide, because that's happening now at younger and younger ages. It's unbelievable what the enemy's trying to do, because so many people have been traumatized in life at early age by the breakup of families, by abuse physically and sexually, and things that they've had happen in their lives that are horrific. And listen, it's caused by a spirit of suicide that then comes on the person and starts whispering in the person's ear, telling you, you know, this your life is over, you're never going to be whole again. And when you start receiving these kinds of thoughts, because your soul has been damaged by what's happened to you, you've been traumatized by it, your mind, your body, it could be something that's affecting. Listen, and because you're under such stress from the things that have happened, you physically start to break down because of it. You're having all kinds of other symptoms in your physicality because you've been traumatized. So what do we need to do, Pastor, when we've had trauma in our lives? Some of you have had trauma. First of all, you need to forgive. Whatever has happened and whatever has perpetrated this, forgiveness by the power of the living God and by the power of the blood of His Son is the first step that we have to take in order to get rid of what damage has been done to our soul. You forgive. And then you declare that any feelings you have of shame or guilt or condemnation or anything that's been done or anything that you felt you were forced to have to do that was against the will of God, you declare you are no longer under the bondage of any of that kind of directive. And you cancel every assignment of the powers of darkness that the enemy is now using to come against you, to paralyze you, against your body, against your spirit, against anxiety and worry. And you command these tormenting spirits to leave and not to return. And you heal by the declaration prayer that the wounds of your soul are being mended and restored, because you serve a God who heals us in every capacity. That the strongholds and thoughts and beliefs that have been brought about by these wounds are broken down and they are healed. Only He can heal brokenness. And then you pray, Lord, release from this imprisonment. Release from this bondage of soul damage that's happened to me. And speak healing over these symptoms you have in your mind and in your body. And ask God to give you strength and deliverance, because post-traumatic stress is real. It happens to people now of all ages, and we need to be able in the Church of Jesus to recognize people who are dealing with some stresses that are beyond their capability to manage, and we need to affect the presence and power of the Holy Spirit and the blood of Jesus to deliver them. Amen. We've got an antidote for post-traumatic stress. I know a God who heals post-traumatic stress. And then He restores your purpose, so that the person who's been damaged in their soul by stress events, traumatic events, loses their dream. And you can see it clearly in our warriors when they come back from war. And the dreams that they once had and the vision of who they were going to be and what they were going to do gets crushed by their post-traumatic stress. And you can't motivate them any longer. And they don't want to get up and go for it any longer. And they're ready to quit on life. And they feel life isn't worth living any longer. And the hole gets deeper and deeper as these thoughts continue to swirl and twirl in their thinking. But listen, with the power of the Holy Spirit and the blood of Jesus, bringing healing and deliverance, once again, restoration of purpose. A person who couldn't dream, lost their dream, gets their dream back, gets their purpose back, gets their focus back, knows who they are in Christ, and they're able to go forward in health because they're totally delivered. And He's here right now to do that for everybody. The Holy Spirit is saying to the church, you're the apple of God's eye. He smiles on you with His favor. And somebody in the last 2 minutes says, you have felt the chain of darkness break off of your life. You have felt the chain of Satan's lies break off of your life. You're getting free. You're going to walk away from this stuff. You're going to have deliverance tonight. I sense somebody's joy is returning. Somebody, you're starting to realize there is hope for me. Joy couldn't find you because you allowed emotions to steal your joy. You allowed all the clouded images of trauma and difficulty and pain to steal your joy. Joy couldn't find you, but joy is finding you again, and peace is finding you, and God's resources are available to you and are finding you. What if God's purpose only responded to a heart fully trusting in Father's predetermined plan for your life? That you're still blessing God. That's what God wants from us. That God, a Job moment, you talk about trauma, you talk about soul wounds. All 10 of his children lost in one day. Everything of his assets up in smoke, gone. A man who, when we went to the city gates, all generations would come to him for wisdom, questions, now has lost everything. He sits, his body in excruciating pain from some kind of breakout, probably what we might call shingles, from the stress was released in him. Such terrible events that happened in his life. Skin just full of boils, sores that were excruciating in pain everywhere. And what if God, what if the Father, can only help us find our purpose when he sees our hearts are fully committed to trusting him. That we're still blessing him in the wilderness, no matter what he allows. And we trust his love because it never changes and it never wavers. He never stops loving us, even when he's permitted us to be tested like Job was. And in the middle of that test, I know that my Redeemer lives. And if he slays me, I will still trust him. It's Job with that statement. It's Abraham on Mount Moriah with his son of promise tied to an altar. His son said, where is the sacrifice? Isaac, where's the sacrifice? God will provide. Now I know. God said, now I know. Don't touch him. Now I know. Commit your way to the Lord. Roll and repose each care of your load on him. Trust, lean on, rely on, and be confident also in him. And he will bring it to pass. And he will make your uprightness and right standing with God go forth as the light, and your justice and right as the shining sun of the noonday. Be still and rest in the Lord. Wait for him and patiently lean yourself upon him. And when God brings you through that storm, and you're on the other side of it, like Job was, like Abraham was, like Paul was, my goodness. And you will not have to feel guilty for success or for victory or for receiving favor or being healed or having been delivered. You're just going to stand there and celebrate the plan of God's favor on your life and say, thank the Lord for what he's done. Look what the Lord has done. Yeah. Amen. So when people can't quite figure out why you have to dismiss yourself from their movie going or addiction to gaming or other time stealing appointments and investments, you just look at them and say, I have an appointment. I have to go. You can get involved in so many distractions, but you remember what God spoke into your heart, and you shed the unnecessary for the preeminent plan that God has for your life. And you've learned how to eliminate some stuff for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. God will honor those who show up for their appointment with him. He always honors when you show up for an appointment. If God has revealed to you his purpose, show up for your appointment. And never apologize to anybody for it. Just show up. You will pass the test. You'll receive your promotion. Show up for your appointment. You see, your earthly enemies can only research you back to the day that you were born. And man, we've got some crazy people running around this planet trying to find, turn over every rock and create all kinds of accusations against people. But thank God, their research can only go back to the day we were born. Amen? And the plan of God for your life began before you were born. So no matter how far back they go, they can never go far back enough to supersede what God has planned. You've got the advantage of it. Listen, if all the devil can do is trace us back to our birth, the devil is in big trouble because our plan was in place long before we were born. Thank the Lord. Thank God. I don't know what your birthdays all are. I have no clue what everybody's birthday happens to be. I do know this. God's plan is much more eternal than your birthday. And the reason you were not miscarried and the reason you were not aborted, God had a plan for you. And here's an incoming text. You've already made one of your appointments by being here tonight. You're here in the presence of the Holy Spirit. It means you did not miss your appointment. You made an appointment. You've kept it with God. God's going to meet you in this place. And Father is going to bestow on you a soul renewal, a heart renewal, a refreshing from on high, the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You've shown up for your appointed time. We're going to stand to our feet. We're going to lift our voices. We're going to come to this altar. We're going to release the greater praise, the greatest praise we've ever given the Lord tonight. So make your way down here. Make your way into the presence of the Holy Spirit.